So keep your Bibles open to Exodus chapter 20. The text for us today is Exodus chapter 20 verses beginning from 8 to 11. That's the text we are going to study this morning. As Pastor Mike has already pointed out, this is the fourth commandment we're going to study today. If you were to go to a bank in India on Sunday, you will find it closed. Sunday is a holiday for banks, schools, colleges, government offices, business companies. How did India get this holiday on a Sunday concept? Well, of course, India got it from the British during the colonial era. This is one of the blessings in disguise that Indians have received from the British rule. And we know that the British got it from the Bible. This idea of working 6 days a week and resting on the seventh day comes from the Old Testament. To be more specific, it comes from the fourth commandment, which we are going to study this morning. Some time ago, as Pastor Mike has pointed out, we started a series of studying the Ten Commandments. You would recall from the memory that the first commandment instructed God's people to serve Yahweh alone as their God. The second commandment instructed God's people that they must not worship Yahweh using an idol or image or picture or symbol. The third commandment instructed God's people that they must not dishonor the name of their God by using it profanely. And now God has appointed for us that we study the fourth commandment today. The Bible teaches that those who are saved, that means those whose sins are forgiven, have committed their life to God. And God exercises lordship over his people. This lordship extends to every area of their life. The fourth commandment specifically teaches that God is the Lord of our time. Our time is not our time, our own, because God gives it to us and he chooses how we use it. And he wants us to give appropriate time to worship and rest. Now, as we begin to venture into studying the fourth commandment, I want to make two comments by way of introduction. First, this is the longest of all commandments because of the space it takes. So if you see in your Bible, it occupies the most space. Second, this commandment is stated first positively in verse 8 and then stated negatively in verse 10. This is the only commandment which is stated both positively and negatively. Now, please notice verse 8 in your Bible. This command begins with an exhortation to remember the Sabbath day. Now, we can only remember something that we already know. And that's true for the Israelites as well. They are not hearing about the Sabbath for the first time. Exodus chapter 16 tells us that when Israelites were traveling towards Mount Sinai, God provided manna for 6 days. And on the sixth day, they gathered a double portion of manna because God declared through Moses that the seventh day was the Sabbath day, the day of rest. And here in the fourth commandment, God is commanding the Israelites to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Now, God is not commanding them to remember the Sabbath day as many of us understand the word remember today. According to one dictionary definition, remember means to be able to bring back a piece of information into your mind. But here, God is asking more than just keeping some information in memory. What God is asking? God is commanding the Israelites to observe the Sabbath day. It demands the total engagement of our whole person in the service of God. Remembering the Sabbath is like remembering a wedding anniversary. It is not enough to say to your spouse, I remember it's our wedding anniversary. I remember that lovely day when we exchanged our vows together. It's not enough to just do that. Remember, it involves expressing love to each other through words, gifts, good food, and a good amount of time spent together. Similarly, remembering the Sabbath day involves more than just a mental activity. So when God says, remember the Sabbath day, it's not merely a mental activity. It involves showing our love for God in a special way. God commands the Israelites to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Keeping holy means to set it apart for sacred use, for holy use. So the fourth commandment demands that the Israelites remember the Sabbath day by setting it apart for the service and worship of God. When I was studying, I paraphrased verse 8 like this. Make sure to keep the Sabbath day exclusively reserved for God. That's the gist of verse 8. Make sure to keep the Sabbath day exclusively reserved for God. As we move forward, God explains the commandment in verses 9 and 10. Notice verse 9 in your Bible. God commands the Israelites to engage in labor and finish all their work in 6 days. Now, somebody might laugh at this, but believe it or not, this is what God does. God makes their weekly schedule and gives it to them so that they can follow. God exercises lordship over their time. He commands them how to divide their week and how they should spend their time. God gives them a rhythm of work and rest. And it begins with a 6 days of work. Everyone must work. Nobody should remain idle. Men and women, sons and daughters, male servants and female servants, everyone must engage in some kind of work. It is our duty to work. God ordained work for mankind at creation, the Bible says. Many people wrongly understand work as a necessary evil. You see, in the world, people understand work like it's evil. Some people think work is the result of sin. Wrong understanding. Work is a gift to man, which is linked to creation itself, the Bible says. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Man was created to give glory to God by faithfully doing the work in creation. Now, I understand that work becomes a burdensome thing for many of us, at least at some point, if not regularly. But it is not because God created work that way. The burdensome element of work is not because of creation, but because of fall. What I mean is, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God cursed them and the ground in which they were to work. Listen to Genesis chapter 3 verse 17. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life, the Bible says. As a result, work became a burdensome thing. But my dear friends, this will not be the case forever. God will redeem our work from the curse, and we will work joyfully in new creation. Sounds incredible, isn't it? Too beautiful to imagine. The work will become beautiful. The work will become joyful and delightful. But here, the fourth commandment reminds us to honor God by faithfully doing the work entrusted to us in 6 days of the week. But the seventh day is a special day. It's a Sabbath to the Lord our God, the Bible says. This is a reiteration of what Moses has already said in verse 8. Israelites are commanded to keep the Sabbath day holy by keeping it exclusively reserved for God, their Lord. So, what is the Bible saying? The Bible says simply, every day belongs to God. God has given us 6 days to work and has given us the seventh day to worship Him, to rejoice in Him, and to rest. And not only that, Sabbath is also a day of rest. Not only worship, but also rest. It's a day of ceasing from work, especially from common labor. Our English word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word called Shabbat, which means refrain from labor, cease from work. It also means to rest. So the seventh day is a day when everyone should stop from working. An Israelite farmer should stop farming. An Israelite carpenter should put down his tools. Sabbath is not a usual business day. And my dear friends, it is same for us today. If you are a student, don't leave your homework for Sunday. If you work in a company, don't make your business report on Sunday afternoon. And similarly, we can work out according to our jobs what we have to do on Sunday. Now notice the scope of this commandment in verse 10. What is the scope? What is the breadth of this commandment? It involves 6 kinds of people, if you notice in your Bible in verse 10. 6 kinds of people. 6 categories of people. First of all, it begins with you. The head of the household along with his wife, the couple, right? Second, your son. Third, your daughter. Fourth, your male servant. Fifth, your female servant. And sixth, the sojourners or foreigners among you. And dear friends, notice the kindness of God here. This commandment commands the Israelites to give rest to their livestock as well. In short, what verse 10 is saying is that every being within your community, within your gates, must stop working on the seventh day. So what's the principle? The principle is simple. You take rest and you give rest. You take rest and you give rest to everyone, every being. Now it is obviously understood that certain necessary tasks have to be done even on Sabbath, like food has to be served and eaten. Our bodies have to be cleaned and children need caring, etc. But the work that occupies us most of our time on the 6 days, that has to be stopped. God says, you take rest and you give rest. Now this commandment was given to Israelites who had been redeemed by the Lord from Egyptian slavery. Think about the recipient of this commandment. Who was this commandment given to in the first place? They and their forefathers were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Their time was not their own. Someone else decided their weekly schedule. They were enforced to work 7 days in a week and 365 days in a year. There was no rest for them. There was no day for worship for them. The Israelites experienced the curse of Genesis 3:17 in its worst sense. Their bodies and their souls were torn by heavy and difficult labor. But my dear friends, think about this. Think about the beauty of this commandment. Finally, God redeems them, the Bible says. God redeems them and gives them rest. To those Israelites, the Sabbath was a real blessing and a wonderful gift. The Genesis 3:17 curse is not lifted yet, but it has been reduced considerably. And the redemption they have received is a sign that the curse will be fully lifted one day. What an amazing commandment this is. We should praise God for that. And I'm sure that when the original recipients received this commandment, they must have been dancing. They must have been rejoicing. Wow, praise God for this commandment. Now, one more thing we should note here. Sabbath was unique to Israelites. There was no other nation which worshipped Yahweh as their God. So no other nation observed Sabbath. Yes, there were other nations which divided their time into periods of 7 days, but they generally associated the seventh day with misfortune. Their religious calendars were based upon sun and moon. They worshipped sun and moon as their gods. And the cycles of sun and moon determined their religious worship and calendar. And it's nothing new for me to know this, because we have in India people, Hindus, who observe their religious festivals according to a Hindu calendar, which is actually run according to the cycles of sun and moon. But the Israelite calendar was unique. Only Israelites were given a 7-day cycle of religious worship to emphasize that the God who gave them this day is sovereign over sun and moon. That God is sovereign over their time. And they were to observe Sabbath because God ordained it at creation. Finally, I want to make a few comments that will prevent us from one misunderstanding. The fourth commandment does not say that 6 days you do all your work and don't worship God at all. It's not saying that. You do all your work on 6 days, just keep working, keep working, keep working. Don't remember God. That's not what the commandment is saying. And the commandment is also not saying that the seventh day you keep worshiping and don't do anything else. That's also not the commandment is saying. Rather, the fourth commandment says that the 6 days are primarily given for people to do their work. This word primarily is important. And even though they must continue to worship God and remember God all through those 6 days. And the commandment is also saying that the seventh day is Sabbath, dedicated primarily for the worship of God and rest, even though certain necessary tasks have to be done and performed that day. So we must understand this commandment in a balanced way, in a right way. So God commands the Israelites to keep the Sabbath day holy by worshiping Him and ceasing from their work and resting. But why should the Israelites do it? What's the reason behind it? Is there a theological reason behind obeying this fourth commandment? Verse 11, if you notice in your Bible, it gives the answer. And the answer is very simple. Pastor Mike has already told us in the kids' talk. Because God rested on the seventh day, man should also rest on the seventh day. Very simple. It's as simple as in Sunday school class. But that's it. The reason for not working on the seventh day lies in creation, just as the reason for working on 6 days lies in creation. God created everything from heaven to earth and everything within them in 6 days. And on the seventh day, God stopped creating anymore and rested. And the Bible says, God blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart from the rest of the 6 days. And so, God's people are called to observe Sabbath holy because God himself rested on that day. Now, God did not rest on the seventh day because he was tired. Do you think he was tired? That's why he rested? I don't think so. The Bible says he stopped creating anymore, but he was still sustaining the world. He was still sustaining the world. Rather, God laid out a pattern of work and rest for man, for their benefit. This becomes clear in the New Testament when Jesus said, God made the Sabbath for man. Dear friends, the Bible says God created man in his image. And one of the ways in which we reflect the image of God is when we rest on Sabbath, seventh day. Now, the book of Deuteronomy gives us another reason to observe the fourth commandment. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15 says this. Listen. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Notice here, what does Moses say? Moses gives the redemption from the Egyptian slavery as the reason behind the fourth commandment. Think about this. Just put these two passages right in front of you. The Exodus passage links Sabbath with the creation, whereas the Deuteronomy passage links Sabbath with their salvation from Egyptian slavery. By observing Sabbath on a weekly basis, Israelites will continue to remember that once their forefathers were slaves in Egypt, but God redeemed them with a mighty hand. They will remember that they are no longer slaves. They will remember that bondage is broken, that they don't have to work tirelessly all the time. They will remember that they owe their freedom to Yahweh alone. So, the Sabbath looked back not only to creation, right in the beginning, but also to the salvation, to the Egyptian, to the redemption from the Egyptian slavery. Both are the reasons the Bible gives. And by the way, the Ten Commandments are not only found in Exodus, but also in Deuteronomy. But we are working our way through the Exodus chapter 20. So this is how the original recipient understood the fourth commandment. But we are Christians. We are not Israelites. How should we understand the fourth commandment? How does the fourth commandment apply to us as Christians? First of all, we must understand that all the laws found in the Old Testament can be categorized into three categories: ceremonial, civil, and moral. Ceremonial laws pertain to the worship and sacrificial system of the Old Covenant. Ceremonial laws were fulfilled by Christ and are no longer applicable to us as Christians today. For example, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Trumpets, and Feast of Tabernacles, etc. We don't celebrate those things. And then there were civil laws, which pertain to the judicial laws applicable to Israel as a nation. And finally, there were moral laws, which revealed the character of God. And since the character of God is unchanging, the moral law never changes. It continues to be applicable to us even today. So, all the Ten Commandments, including the fourth one, fall under the moral law. The Ten Commandments reflect the character of God, who God is, what God desires, what God pleases. And according to paragraph 5 of chapter 19 of 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, the moral law binds all people everywhere forever. Whether people are Christians or not, this law binds people from everywhere. It simply means that all the Ten Commandments apply to Christians as well. It is true that Christ fulfilled all the moral law of God on our behalf. It is also true that we receive His righteousness as a gift to us. That's also true. Nevertheless, God demands that we obey these Ten Commandments as well, because they reflect His character. And don't you think it is fitting for us as His children to reflect His character? If God worked for 6 days and rested on seventh day, we as His children ought to do the same. Work for 6 days and rest and worship on the seventh day. But it is not so straight. The fourth commandment is one of the most contentious commandment debated among Christian scholars and Christian people. It is tricky because the commandment concerning Sabbath finds its place in Leviticus chapter 23 as well. Now, Leviticus chapter 23 lists all the religious festivals of Israel, all the religious festivals that the Israelites were commanded by God. And all these festivals, they belong to the ceremonial law. And if you see Leviticus chapter 23, you will find the reference to Sabbath, along with all the other references, maybe a Feast of Tabernacle, Feast of Trumpets, and all the other festivals. All these belong to the ceremonial law. And you see, Sabbath observance finds its place both in the moral law, Exodus chapter 20, and ceremonial law, Leviticus chapter 23. And that makes this commandment tricky, moral as well as ceremonial. But we also know that the ceremonial law is fulfilled in Christ and is no longer applicable to Christians. At the same time, we also know that the moral law is still applicable. So you see the tension. Now, some people say Sabbath commandment is no longer applicable to Christians because it belongs to the ceremonial law. They say, look at chapter 23, Leviticus. But these good Christians, they ignore the fact that it also belongs to the moral law, which is still applicable. They ignore the fact that it is found in Exodus chapter 20 as well. Now, we as a Stanmore Baptist Church, we believe that the fourth commandment is still applicable in principle, even though the exact day is changed from Saturday to Sunday with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are strong arguments in favor of this position. First, the Sabbath ordinance was established by God at creation much before God gave law through Moses at Mount Sinai. The Sabbath ordinance precedes Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. Second, The Sabbath ordinance is repeated in 10 commandments. So you find right in Genesis this commandment. Then it comes also in Exodus chapter 20. It reveals the unchanging character of God. And third, Jesus always obeyed the Sabbath ordinance and presented a model to his disciples. Fourth, the apostles and the early church obeyed the Sabbath ordinance by worshiping the Lord on Sunday. Just to make one thing clear here, when we read New Testament, it may seem like Jesus is opposing the command, but that's not true. If you read it carefully, what Jesus was fighting against is not the command per se, but the man-made rules that the Pharisees had made around that command. And we'll see some of them in a moment. So Jesus was perfectly aligned with this commandment. He never had issue with this commandment. The apostles understood that the fourth commandment was applicable to them and other Christians. But they shifted from Saturday to Sunday. Why? Because Jesus rose again from the dead on Sunday. And you know, it was fitting for them to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ by worshiping him on Sunday. The church history tells us that since the beginning of the church always remembered the death and the resurrection of Jesus through observance of the Lord's Supper on Sunday. So, for us Christians, Sunday is the Sabbath, a day of worship, a day of rest, a day to remember our salvation. Pretty much something that we are going to do even today as we hear the word and as we also remember the Lord's death and his resurrection by partaking in the Lord's table. And instead of calling it Sabbath, we don't call it Sabbath. As Christians, we call it the Lord's Day. What does the Lord's Day mean? The day that belongs to the Lord. How appropriate is that? Even the vocabulary gives everything in the meaning, right? So we have understood the fourth commandment. We believe it applies to us as Christians. But how exactly we apply this in our lives? We don't want to commit the same mistake as the Pharisees did, as I pointed out earlier. The Pharisees made several more laws around the fourth commandment and taught as if those man-made laws bound the conscience of people. For example, think about this. This is what the Pharisees taught. You cannot fetch water. Husband and wife cannot have sexual relationship. You cannot write more than one letter of the alphabet. So if you write one, that's fine. If you write two, you're sinning because you're working. You can walk up to 950 meters, but no further. So all these things the Pharisees made, the man-made laws that they made. So these were a few examples how the fourth commandment was manipulated by Pharisees and other people. And we don't want to commit the same mistake. But how do we apply it rightly? How do we do it? Well, all of us who gather regularly on Sunday morning to worship the Lord, we are already obeying the fourth commandment. Right? We are setting apart our Sunday morning for the worship of the Lord. And that's great. And I encourage you to continue to do the same thing. It is the command of God and we do well to obey it. Now, how then we exactly obey the fourth commandment in the rest of the day? Okay, we come Sunday morning, we worship the Lord, that's fine. But what do we do the rest of the day? What do we do? Well, I think it depends on the head of the household. Remember, the command was addressed to you. What is you? The head of the household along with his wife. I can make a few suggestions. These suggestions are not binding upon you. Again, If I say these things are binding upon you, I will be a Pharisee standing here. And Jesus will definitely have a problem with me. I can make a few suggestions. These suggestions are not binding upon you. If you like these suggestions, take it. Number one, turn off digital devices or reduce it to minimum. Okay? Suggestion, okay? Not a command. Give rest to your brain and eyes. Second, it may sound funny, but let me say it. Take an afternoon nap if possible. Rest. Third, plan ahead for Sunday. Do extra cooking on Saturday so that you get rest from cooking. Fourth, spend time with your kids and spouse. Fifth, consider inviting someone or a family to have a fellowship over meal. But make sure you plan ahead so that it does not become a burden. Sixth, if you mostly remain indoors and gaze at the screen, which I assume that many people are anyway doing, gazing at the computer during the week, for people like us, go out, get some leisure, watch the sky, sun, enjoy God's creation. Seventh, consider helping a needy person either in kind or with money. Because the Lord's Day is also about showing mercy. Eighth, finish the Lord's Day with evening prayer and worship. Read scripture. Sing songs. Remember the Lord. The people of God historically have done these things. They start their Lord's Day with worship and they finish their Lord's Day with worship. So worship brackets our day that belongs to the Lord. And we rest as well. These are all good suggestions, but it is up to you to decide which one you will pick up. Again, it depends on the head of the household to do those things. Now, if you are a Christian, you are most probably like me. I have broken the fourth commandment by not abiding by it many times. And I think mostly it is because of ignorance, because I never had an opportunity to study this commandment in greater depth. And that's a good thing. When you make a sermon, you study the thing really in detail. Not that I kept missing Sunday worship services, but I have broken this commandment by doing work on Sundays to catch up with my studies. But thank God, now I know full meaning of this commandment. No excuse. Now I know the Lord's Day is for worship and for rest. Now I'm more prepared to obey this commandment just like you are, because you have heard it. And you and I must repent of our sin of breaking the fourth commandment. And we must rejoice that we have hope in Christ, because He fulfilled the fourth commandment on our behalf. He fulfilled it for us. And not only that, He has presented a model for us to obey. My dear friends, brothers and sisters, for us believers, Christ has not only fulfilled Sabbath on our behalf, and Christ has not only presented a model to us for us to obey, but the Bible says Christ Himself is our Sabbath. Christ does not merely give ultimate rest. Christ is our ultimate rest. In Christ, our wandering and restless souls found peace and rest. In Christ, we cease to labor for our own salvation. We found rest in the finished work of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And the Lord's table points us to that finished work in which we rest. The Holy Spirit stilled our hearts and minds. And we came to know God in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews says in chapter 4 that the Sabbath we observe in this life is a foretaste of the future great rest which all God's people will enjoy in the Messianic age. The Bible talks about that great rest in which we will enter. We eagerly look forward to the perfect Sabbath of both body and soul that we will have along with all God's people together. My dear friend, if you are not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you that God wants to give you rest, a true rest of body and soul. You see, man has invented and produced many things that promise rest to us. But why don't we rest? Why do people with all resources, education, fame, success, and wealth don't find rest for their souls? The restlessness of soul results into depression, mental disorder, and suicidal tendencies. This restlessness of soul kills many people each year. We can buy a good mattress and perhaps we can get good sleep as well. But the soul does not find rest. Human solutions don't profit. They promise great things but deliver too little. The Bible says Jesus is the solution to our restless soul. Jesus says, "Come. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My dear friend, you might be wondering, how could a man crucified 2,000 years ago give you rest? Well, the Bible says through his death, he earned the forgiveness of sins for those who believe in him. The sin that has been weighing you down can only be lifted by Christ. By believing in Christ, you will not only find forgiveness of your sins, but also approval from God. Through Christ, you can have peace with God. And then for the first time ever, you can have the confidence that God would embrace you, that he would not reject you because of your past sins. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sins. It means you not only feel sorry for your sins, but you take your sins to Christ. You turn from your sins and you run towards God. You believe in Jesus' death for the forgiveness of your sins. And as you do that, you will find the burden of sin and guilt removed from your soul. And you will have rest for your soul. And even though the great rest is still awaiting, our soul will find rest in Christ. We find rest in Christ. And this is my prayer, that if you have not already found the rest in Christ for your soul, you may find it today. That we may choose life and not death. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to hear your word again, Lord, preached. Your word is active and living, sharper than any double-edged sword. Your word gives life. It is a seed that brings people out from death and darkness. And Father, we pray that as this word is preached and heard this morning, it would bring us life, O Lord. It would bring us to Christ. It would tell us to hate our sins and to love Christ. Help us, O Lord, that we may be able to obey the fourth commandment. Help us to honor you, Lord, by worshiping you, by resting in you, by ceasing from labor and work, but remembering you, O Lord, we pray. And help us, O Lord, so that even when we observe the Lord's Day, we present a model to people. We witness, we bear a testimony of the Lord's work, both in creation and salvation, as people see us doing that, Lord, we pray. We thank you, Lord, and as we move towards celebrating the Lord's death and resurrection through participating in the Lord's table, help us, O Lord, and prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.